We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the destination for Boston sports fans. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
The Fantasy Football Hour is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com.
The ultimate football team. The ultimate football show. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI. The most comprehensive, in-depth presentation anywhere concerning fantasy football. The Fantasy Football Hour is brought to you by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Window dealer. By Moxie Soda, by Gould's Distinctive Clothing, and by Atlantic Power Cleaning. The fun and games starts now.
Welcome to the jungle. We've got fun and games.
Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson.
All right, good morning, everybody. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson, WEEI Fantasy Football Hour. Pete, good morning.
Hey, buddy.
My favorite thing of the morning so far is some guy weighing in on a text chain that you and I have with Scott Fish of the Scott Fish Bowl. He goes, hey, if you ever need someone with a Boston accent, let me know. I'm like, I think I got that one covered.
Pretty That's sure, why we have you.
Pretty sure I have that one covered. I've been trying to shake it, for a long time. It's stuck. It's not going anywhere now.
Oh, it's come gone. On.
No, I'm
just, you never tried to shake
no,
that.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, maybe in like communication class 30 years ago.
It would be really like interesting to hear you sans accent.
I don't think it can happen.
I'm almost positive it can't. That's why I said it would be interesting.
Ain't going to happen now. Anyway.
That's like trying to get me to talk with one.
I mean, it got me a little...
Do you remember Good. I mean, I used to catch a lot of flack when
for
you...
For not having a New York accent.
Right. I remember that. Jim and I, for folks who don't know, Jim and I met as salesmen when we worked for the New York Mets a long time ago.
Over 20 years ago.
And, yeah. And I used to catch flack. People thought I was an out-of-towner. It's like... Yeah. Yeah, my whole life.
you were the most local guy in the building. I mean,
this is how I talk. What do you want from me? I mean, I can do the New York accent, but it's like I feel like an idiot faking it. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
you just got to
talk the way I talk.
Just got to talk the way you talk. It gave me a chuckle because I got to tell you, man, I got the blues this morning with Aaron Jones. I am just...
Oh, yeah.
I'm pouty about Aaron Jones.
You know what, though? Look, if you're in a must-win, it hurts. But the truth of the matter is you really don't want him to play.
Yeah.
It stinks that he's not going to. But I was talking about this on the DFS podcast yesterday, and a quad injury, you know, for any skill player is bad.
He's got a calf, but doesn't he? Isn't a calf for him?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant calf. Whoa. Sorry. A calf injury... I mean, a quad would be bad too, but a calf is definitely worse for a guy like Jones because, you know, all of that short area quickness and explosiveness, so much of that comes from your calves. Mm. So you put him out there, and here's the thing with a calf
injury. Is that why I've never been explosive, Pete? Because I don't have any calves?
It's possible. And you know me, I'm actually sort of a calf guy. But anyway, I'm not AJ Dillon or anything. But when you're making sharp, intense cuts, so much of that's coming from your calves. And when you're an athlete like Aaron Jones, once those competitive juices are on, the endorphins are popping, and you're all adrenalized, you're not going to protect that thing.
Yeah.
You're not going to be there in the hole thinking, I need to beat this oncoming linebacker, but I'm going to take it easy on my calf because I'm a little dinged up.
Yeah, you're going to
burst. Athletes don't think that way.
Yeah.
Right. So you're putting him in jeopardy by putting him on the field. It was one of those midweek things. So it's fresh, right? I mean, this happened just a couple days ago.
Happened Friday. You know, he popped up on the report Friday.
Right. So, I mean, if you're Green Bay, yeah, of course the player is going to say, I want to be in because athletes want to play.
Right.
But you do the right thing. I mean, Green Bay is not the same without Aaron Jones. The only player they could afford to lose, you know, less is Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe, so they're doing the right thing.
They even survived with Devontae Adams out a few weeks. But we know how Green Bay is on these situations. They want you at 100%, and they'll just ice you. And look at for me personally, true. I've got Aaron Jones. And
Adams was screaming to get back in there a week early, and they're like, "No, we're not helping you."
And they were showing him on Sunday Night Football. He was like on his face. He wanted to play, you know. But and I like that about the athletes, you know, that are on my teams. Now, I don't need Jones today. I mean, obviously, I've got him in three leagues. I'm winning in all of them, but it's just like he's such a guy that you just want to anchor your team with. It's kind of a bummer, but
well, yeah, it stinks. But I would be like if my fantasy team was in really good shape, I'd be more nervous playing him this week.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, because you lose him, and now you're. And again, this is one of those injuries where you go out there and you've got a little one, you can easily turn it into a big one.
Yeah.
It's like a hamstring in that regard.
Well, this is what I needed. I needed to lie down on the couch for a couple minutes and you picked me up, which
I appreciate. No, but I mean, I know it sounds, look, I know everybody out there with Aaron Jones is sitting there going, yeah, Pete, whatever. But I mean, it is a true thing. Because he is, if you've got, and you and I talked about a lot about Aaron Jones preseason hack, and we said, you know, why is everybody fading this guy? He's basically this guy's going at the end of round two because he scored too many touchdowns.
Yeah, like 19 touchdowns or something. I grabbed him everywhere I could.
I had people asking me why I had him ranked so high. And quite frankly, I didn't think I had him high enough. And you know what? I didn't. But I had him above consensus because people were fading him based on, basically touchdown regression. And I guess A.J. Dillon, which, I mean, you know, A.J. Dillon was something to be fearful of. Sure. I can see that. But Aaron Jones is special. You know, teams don't forget about players who are special. They just don't.
To underscore your point, he's my number two back in two leagues. Unbelievable.
Yeah. The fact that you could get him at the end of the second round is crazy. It's crazy. Never should have been the case. But hey, enjoy it.
Yeah. All right. So listen, we're going to kick you off and I'm going to get to, you know, who's in, who's out. We'll do a little DFS talk. Your texts are already coming in at 37937, which is great. We could hit the lineup questions in the lightning round. I'll sprinkle them in throughout the show for sure as well. And just want to kind of tell you, we kind of just opined on Aaron Jones. I don't want to talk about who's out right now. Let's talk about who's expected back. Let's get to some positive news. How's that sound?
Okay. Are we going to avoid the big story?
No.
Or are we going to hit that later?
Oh no, we're going to hit it. we are going to hit it. Yeah,
I don't care. I just
AB84 will be spoken about. You know, actually, let's hit it now. Actually, let's do that right now.
Okay.
Interesting place to fall to Tampa Bay. Obviously, Brady's wearing the pants in that organization. Wow, because I mean, there were quotes from Bruce Arians. They were playing when he was the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh that he didn't want the guy around. So suddenly, what a sea change. Yeah. I guess what Tommy wants, Tommy gets.
Yeah, I saw a couple people floating that, I'm the captain now gif from that Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah, right.
That was pretty funny.
From Castaway. Hey, no, not Castaway. The pirate one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
37937, if you can help
Captain,
me out.
Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips,
maybe?
That's something it. Like? Yeah, there you go.
I think. But anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, yeah.
AB.
somebody stayed up too late last night. The interesting thing about Antonio Brown, and I'm a big believer that you should trade him immediately. Now, not always. I mean, maybe everybody in your league is really sharp and
Pete,
you can't.
Pete, I was going to put that up in the message board because I just picked him up in one of our leagues in Beantown Brawl.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know, if I do this.
You're lucky I slept through waivers.
Pete's going to smell that from a mile away. But finish your point.
Yeah. Well, listen. I'm the captain now. Excellent. So, I mean, look, trade value is about perception. Right now, Antonio Brown's getting tons of hype. He hasn't stepped on the field yet. Yep. There's a reality on this team, okay? Brady, I mean, has not looked great, okay? I mean, he has not looked great. He's been good at times, shaky at times. He's not the kind of quarterback, I don't think, who can support three wide receivers. So for Antonio Brown to work out, and when I say support three receivers, I mean have them all being at like the wide receiver two level or better.
From a
fantasy, even the wide receiver three level or better.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to be falling through the cracks here. Now, maybe it won't be Brown, but to bet on the guy who hasn't been playing football over two all pro receivers who have been playing football, you know, that's a little bit of a thin bet from a reality point of view. Meanwhile, he's getting tons of hype. AB. If you're in a 12 team league or a 10 team league, the odds on there being someone in that league who thinks Antonio Brown's about to go ham is pretty good.
Yeah.
So if somebody, I just picked a guy up for half of my waiver money or a third or 20, whatever the heck I spent. Now, if I can go flip him for something that's real, oh, I'm going to do it.
That's good.
I'm not
business.
Saying flip. Yeah. I'm not saying flip him for, you know, Breshad Perryman. The point is right now you might be, there are people who are perceiving him as a number one receiver.
Yeah, number that's crazy. One. That's
for
crazy.
Fantasy.
His ceiling to me right
maybe
now
it is
a three.
Maybe it is and maybe it isn't. But the point is, if someone's willing to pay that, I can't lose. Because if I get wide receiver one value for him and he performs like a wide receiver one, who cares?
Yeah, and you got him off the wire, essentially.
Exactly. You're either going to break even or you're going to profit huge or somewhere in between. You're not going to lose if you get a high-end wide receiver two or wide receiver one for Antonio Brown. So that the first thing I do is market him within the league and see if I've got a sucker.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
You know,
you probably do. If 12-team league, you get a 1 in 12 chance of having a sucker.
Exactly. Some people forget to realize that the market is about one person. Whoever paid the most, that guy was basically the market, right? So, you know, like some receiver out there, oh, I'm gonna get a huge contract. Nobody's like, no. The average NFL team would never do that. It's like, yeah, but the Jets exist.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
The Jets exist. You know, Le'Veon Bell wasn't going to get any big money. Oh, wait a minute. The Jets exist.
Yeah.
He's going to get the money. So that's the way the market works. And, you know, fantasy leagues are just like that. So I would sell him to the league. If nobody wants to give me more than, say, a mid-range wide receiver three, I'll keep him.
Yeah.
Then I'll wait for a blow-up game, and then maybe I'll move him. Or maybe I'll keep him. But look, the reality is probably the way this thing works out is one of these three receivers will go off each week based on a matchup.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, that's my feeling.
And you're going to have trouble figuring out who it is. Maybe some weeks we can figure it out based on matchups and you know, which cornerbacks are going to be on who and stuff like that. But, you know, the odds on all three of these guys being really good for fantasy is low.
It would be
not
great.
To mention they have two running backs who are both good and they like to run.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got
they've got
decisions all over the field, Pete. Even their backups.
This is important. Well, they've got first world decisions, but yeah. But here's the other important thing. And I mean, this is very important. Tampa Bay's defense is ridiculously
really good. Yeah.
Ridiculously good.
Yep.
So they're not going to be in a position where they have to throw the ball over the field unless they want to. And there are going to be a lot of weeks where it's going to be the Rojo and Uncle Lenny show because they're up 21-0 in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's going to be the defense doing the scoring because offensive teams are going to now be stressed. We need to score points. You open it up against Todd Bowles' defense. Good luck.
This is one of those where if you're asking me about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, Justin Watson, mm-hmm. Cameron Brate, Rob Gronkowski down the list, the guy you want's Brady because he's the one who can make the decisions to get the ball to anybody.
Yeah, and even he could end up being fool's gold if this defense plays the way it's playing because they're just not, you know, I mean, maybe it's the Brady of old where they let him throw for three more touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I mean, we know they used to do that in New England, but I don't know if Arians will do it that way. They've got a lot of running back talent there.
Yep.
I mean, and that's the interesting thing or maybe the concerning thing about the Tampa Bay offense. If you have a lot of alpha talent and there's one football.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it's like a best ball situation. Like if you could have AB, Evans, and Godwin on a best ball and just like, you know, whoever gets the most wins, great.
Right.
But if you have to make decisions in your seasonal, oof.
Yeah.
That's tough.
No, I mean, they're all great. I mean, maybe the offense ends up just being totally downhill and everybody gets fed every week. I sort of doubt it. I think, look, this thing's interesting as blank. But ultimately for fantasy, I think it does more damage than it does good. That's for sure.
I agree. It's interesting from a DFS standpoint because then you can really play the matchups. Like in seasonal, it's tough. You know, you're going to have to just live and die. Like if you don't have all three, which I doubt you do, you know, it's going to be a roller coaster for you. But in daily, you can like really look at the matchups and say, all right, yeah, maybe he's going to feed AB this week.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens with the pricing, right? I mean, look, I think the takeaway on this thing isn't fantasy. The takeaway on this thing is suddenly Tom Brady could win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, I doubt it because there's some teams they need to get through. But Tampa, look, with Antonio Brown, they should be able to find a way to make this offense work. And the defense is really good.
Yeah, well, they can plug and play every week. I mean, they've had their share of injuries. Yeah. They're not huge injuries, but, you know, tedious injuries to key players, and I think that's why they got it. It makes them not bulletproof, but that's what they're trying to build towards by getting all these players and all these assets in, is to make it as bulletproof as they can so they can make a real run.
Look, it gives Brady what he always wants, which is that short-range target that's very dangerous, that he can just hit, you know. And Brady's had some trouble with some of these intermediate and deeper throws, and he's done some good things with those throws too at times, but, you know, the consistency's not there. You know, he can be consistent throwing short-range to Antonio Brown, so it gives them an always-on type of option in the passing game. You know, this is, look, Tampa is suddenly very dangerous. Now, look, and the one thing we haven't talked about is, look, this Antonio Brown was older when he stopped playing. He was getting into the older part of his career. Yep. Now you're talking about an old athlete with a significant layoff. I mean, there is going to be some open-endedness to how good is he now. We don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Which, by the way, I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's another reason to deal him. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, like, but the thing I keep going back to with AB in my mind is that first drive when he was with the Pats and Brady just fed him literally the whole time down the field against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And you and I talked about it. The whole reason in week two why they went after Antonio Brown is because they lost 60% of their offensive line. They needed someone who could get open quickly that wasn't named Julian Edelman. You know, because it was just so obvious that's where Brady had to go. They had no tight ends. They had no outside receivers, nothing. They went and got AB, and you saw it on that first drive. It was like seven or eight throws right down the field. Boom, 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 boom. And that's what he does. He gets open within a second and a half. He's open. He's ready.
Right.
And I think Brady's going to pepper him a lot. So that's going to be interesting.
And that was what
watch.
Now? Two years ago?
No, it was a year ago, September.
Oh, okay.
Last September, yeah. Yep.
I don't get enough sleep.
All right. So let's, so good stuff on AB. I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting landing spot. And then the other one is that we didn't really talk about last week was Le'Veon Bell on the Chiefs. I'm wondering if that's going to be kind of like a LeSean McCoy role, what it was last year, or how you kind of see that and what it does to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He made a statement last week. CEH made a statement, said, this is my team. I'm the running back. He looked great last week.
I think he did look good. And in all honesty, he's looked good all year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hasn't looked bad. I mean, there was in the first game, he had those goal line shots where he got stuffed. I mean, look, he's a little back. If everybody's in the backfield, it's going to be a little ugly. But most of those plays didn't get blocked up. And this is something I've talked about a lot over the last couple of weeks. And it was something I was talking about before Le'Veon Bell got there, just, you know, to people who are coming up to me on Twitter going, I'm really worried about this Clyde Edwards-Helaire guy. You know, he's not getting it done. And I'm like, look, first of all, he is sort of getting it done. He's getting the usage and he's putting up good games. He's just not putting up monster games.
Yep.
But one thing you really just go back and look at the Kansas City rushing game over the last 3 or 4 years and look at how it evolves over the season. It tends to get better and better and better. I'm almost positive that'll be the case this year as well. Mm. And I think you're going to see Edwards-Helaire popping for plenty of touchdowns. You're going to see more receptions. You're going to see more. Teams have really dared them to run.
And they have.
You saw
they've
last
taken
week.
The dare
you saw
and won. Yeah.
Last week they did. They said, "Okay, fine. We're going to pound you then." And they did. They did it really well. Like this idea, you know, people forget Andy Reid can set up the run game as well as anybody.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about Andy Reid when it comes to the ground game is you don't know what to look for. He'll come out there and stretch you all day, and he'll come out there and pound you with scheme blocking all day. Like he can set it up any way he wants. They don't have one way to run the football. So I think Helaire's a great buy right now. If anybody wants to panic sell him and I can get him for like a mid-level RB2 price or even a high-end RB2 price, I would do it. And, you know, Bell could end up having value too. Bell is okay. I mean, as a Jet, it's tough to tell exactly how good he was because the situation he was in was so
pathetic.
Bad.
Yeah, pathetic. Yep.
Yeah, so I don't want to say too much negative about him because I don't think he was in a situation that was really fair to his talents. I mean, Adam Gase is just
dead man walking.
he is an abomination. Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you right now, if the Jets trade Sam Darnold, go buy him in Superflex Dynasty Leagues. He's going to be a star. But I think Bell's going to have a role. It'll probably be a significant role. I don't think it's going to be the kind of role that makes Edwards-Helaire significantly less valuable. It'll take something off the top of his ceiling.
It's kind of like last year with Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy. He had an impact, but he didn't take away from Williams too much.
Yeah. Well, LeSean showed up and was meh, you know?
Right.
So that sort of helped. I don't think Bell's going to be that. I think Bell will have some real moments. But, you know, they signed him to what is essentially a one-year deal. I think he's there to give them a second option to keep the kid fresh. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell, the one thing I have to say as far as his performance as a Jet, he was pretty good at the little things.
Mm.
He was a good, solid overall back. He would fight in pass protection. I give him credit. You know, maybe they saw that. Now, correct me if I'm – who was the other team going after Bell? It was the Dolphins, right?
It was the Dolphins. And they looked like the team that had the most opportunity. You know what I mean? Because they've got
most money.
Most money, but also the thinking was if Bell wants to actually carry the ball, you know what I mean, and be the horse, that Miami's the place to go. But unsurprisingly, right. Kansas City swooped in there. You know, one thing I'll also say, too, is – and you talked about it, like when they're daring Hilaire to run, and he'll, you know, sometimes he'll get met with contact at the line of scrimmage. There were times he did, and he broke through. I mean, he's a little guy, but he's strong. He's, you know, huge legs. He can hit bulldoze right through that or underneath it in some way. So we've only seen a part of what he can do. He's a talented guy. I'm not worried.
He's definitely not powerful, but like you say, he does have leg strength, and he's low to the ground. He's insanely quick.
Yeah.
And he can string moves together in sequences. It makes him very dangerous on inside runs. You know, the only thing is you can arm tackle him pretty easily. You know, he's a tricky little inside runner. I think he's the only thing that worries me with Hilaire would be an injury. As long as that guy's healthy, I think he's going to rip it up, particularly in that offense. But look, Bell's going to take a little something off the top. Bell made an interesting decision. He took less money, and I think he ends up with less volume, like you said. But the thing is, it was a really smart thing to do for a couple reasons. First of all, he might get himself a ring.
Chasing Lombardi, question.
I don't know how much of a priority that is for him or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I think I agree with you, but I don't know how much that meant to him. But I think what's really smart about this is he's going to go to this team. He's not going to get overused. He's going to look really good, probably. You don't have a better chance to look good than playing in this offense.
It's a great showcase opportunity for him, no question.
Exactly,
about it. Yep.
Exactly. So then he goes into the offseason without being overused, but looking very good, coming off as a little bit more of a team player than when he just ran after the money with the Jets. He didn't run after the money with the Dolphins. So I think, you know, I think it was from a portfolio standpoint, I think he made a good move.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. And the other thing, too, is like, you know, we really haven't seen other than one half, and boy, did he light it up. But we haven't really seen Kansas City open it up through the air yet. I mean, Mahomes has been efficient, you know, but not explosive.
Well, teams have been playing tons of, like, you know, thick, deep shells against them. They've been saying, we're not going to let you just attack us downfield. And it's worth noting that they're not playing Hardman all that much.
No.
And Damian Williams is gone. So that's two very important speed pieces that they used to have on the field a lot that they don't now.
Yeah.
So this team is not as fast as it was last year. You know, Edward Sawyer is insanely quick, and he's a lot to handle, but he's not fast.
And
He doesn't beat you to the corner, and he doesn't run those vertical routes that Damian Williams runs. So the offensive structure is a little different. The skill players, the assortment of talent is a little different. You've got a little more toughness, a little more quickness, but the long speed is you know, you used to have three guys on the field at the same time with legit long speed, plus Sammy Watkins.
Right.
That, you know, trying to scheme against that when you have Pat Mahomes, who can hammer the ball all three levels, man, that'll keep a lot of people up at night. And then the other things the teams are doing is they're saying, look, we're going to make you beat us with shorter throws.
Yeah, and
you know,
and they are.
Yes, they're doing it. So, and now they have two running backs. They can start running a little bit more. And I heard Mahomes saying it the other day. He's like, yeah, they're going to come back up because we're going to make them. And when they come back up, we're going to hammer them.
He's going to go
you
on.
Cannot
beat
this up. Yeah. Right. Whatever you do, they're going to beat you. But teams are opting to be beaten in less posterizing fashion, which I can understand.
Yeah. And even like week one, you know, the first game of the year, you know, the two deep shots that Mahomes took were to DeMarcus Robinson, who's now kind of an interesting player, you know?
The guy in single coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem with DeMarcus Robinson is the same problem we have with Hardman, right? Is that they're going to, one guy could be more important than the other guy just based on the way they see the matchup.
Yeah.
You know, based on what type of you know, defensive alignment they're in. I think sometimes they want the guy who's a little bit tougher, who's a little bit better with the routes, and then sometimes they want that speed.
Yeah.
And hey, they've got a great offense where they can do that.
And that's why
they can get speed on the field when they need it, and they can get bigger guys, you know, and now they've got Bell, so they can mix and match the running backs a little bit more. And it's not like running back was a problem. I mean, I thought Jarrell Williams looked pretty good. So
especially last week, he looked, he looked crisp. I mean, both those guys were definitely saying like, hey, I'm still on the roster here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, don't forget about me.
I lost, just to underscore how my fantasy season is going, I lost two games last week on the Jarrell Williams touchdown.
Oof.
How much fun is that? And in both those games, I had Hilaire.
Yikes. Yeah, that's tough. You get in those ruts.
Fantasy is fun.
Again, I'm going to knock wood. I'm doing all right. So here, I want to get to some news around the league. We're going to do some, your texts are flying in. I appreciate it. 37937, some lineup decisions. And there's a lot to do. There's a lot of lineup decisions, and largely because of these guys, right? So we talked about Aaron Jones at the top. He's not expected to go. Game time decision. Jamison Crowder, also doubtful. A game time, but probably you're going to not see him out this week. Mike Thomas keeps happening, man. You can't get him back in your lineup. You know?
Yeah.
Very, very tough.
That's such a bad beat. I've got him on four teams. It's so brutal.
Yeah, brutal. Manny Sanders is going to be out, and Mike Thomas. So where do you go? Traquan Smith is the number one all of a sudden. So pretty interesting.
Traquan's a great play in seasonal.
Yeah.
And he's even a better play on DraftKings. He is at 4K.
Ooh.
You got Breeze, number one receiver at 4K.
All right, man. We're going to get more to who's in, who's out, who's expected, who's not, and help with your lineup questions at 37937 on the text line. Back after this.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, Trending Now is brought to you by Marine Home Center and Falmouth Lumber, your local Anderson Windows dealers. Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. Now, according to Mike Reese, the Patriots worked out five players yesterday afternoon, most notably fullback and special teamer Roosevelt Nix, who was a Pro Bowler in 2017. Wide receiver Damian Willis also got a tryout. He caught 9 passes for 82 yards in 10 games last season with the Bengals. To baseball, the Red Sox have reportedly interviewed Arizona Diamondbacks bench coach Louis Urreta for their vacant manager job. Now, Urreta was one of the candidates interviewed by Chaim Bloom earlier in the year following Alex Cora's release. Locally on the college football front, BC ran all over Georgia Tech yesterday, winning by a score of 48-27. Quarterback Phil Dracovic did it all for the Eagles last night as he led the team in rushing with 94 yards with only 7 carries. To the World Series, the Tampa Bay Rays walked off last night against the Los Angeles Dodgers in a crazy way.
They spend a lot of dollars.
And they do spend a lot of
dollars.
There you
go.
Yeah, it was a Freudian slip. They tied the series at 2. Game 3 will be tonight at 8:08. Tyler Glasnow will oppose Clayton Kershaw, the always interesting in the postseason Clayton Kershaw. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. More of the Fantasy Football Hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back to you the Fantasy Football Hour. Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, just let it roll. Josh is really getting to know me, man. I dig this.
I was going to say, this must be hacking.
Oh, come on. Do we have to do a show? All right, here we go. Sports Radio WEEI, Fantasy Football Hour. AC/DC pumping. Josh is jamming back there. I like it. The texts are flying, Pete.
For some reason, I've got Jack Black in my head now, like dancing around.
School of Rock. School of Rock. Great movie. Great movie. Underrated. Underrated comedy.
Last 15 minutes of that gets me right in the feels. Anyway, so you and I, we were talking during the break about some possible trade targets for the Patriots on the offensive side of the football, receivers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I wrote about it on Thursday on WWE.
I know. And I don't know if I agree with your you know, it's time to break out. To buy the steak, to buy the lobster.
Belichick needs to get the steak and the lobster and the dessert.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I believe, I don't know if I agree with that necessarily.
I don't know if maybe. I do either. It's a fan feeling, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly not opposed to it. You know, if Belichick's not opposed to it. Do you want to start with some of the guys that you would like to see?
Yeah. Well, just
because I think this is really interesting and fun. Because here's the one thing. Well, first of all, let's start this way. Do you think they're going to add a player? Yes or no?
I do.
And any player qualifies.
Yes.
Like if they add Alshon, that counts.
Yeah.
So you say yes. Okay, good.
They have to add. They have to add.
I feel like it's 50-50. I have no feel for whether they're going to do it or not. I think they should.
Well, here's the thing. They've got 23, I think it's $23,956,000 right. And change in cap space, right? And I've been hearing all week that Julio Jones,
which is an argument to not do it as well, right?
Yeah.
Like clearly that's money they want to pay forward into the cap.
Yep. Right? Yeah, no question. And they need to. Yeah. But like I take umbrage with the argument that they can't afford Julio Jones. Julio's cap is 22 this year. They've got 23. Yeah. Like I think 23 is higher than 22. They could figure it out. You know,
I think Julio's going to be tough to get, even though they're 1-5. I think, and I could be wrong, but my gut says the Vikings are the people you want to call.
Well, Rudolph was on my list, so Rudolph was.
Yeah, well, Rudolph. We and I have talked about Rudolph a bunch of times. I mean, to me, that's like the no brainer of no brainers.
Yeah,
getting Rudolph, and the beauty is they can actually do it. They've got a young tight end. They want to
absolutely
get on the field more often. Yeah. So I mean, I think it works for the long term Vikings if the Patriots are willing to pay enough. Because Rudolph is worth quite a bit, in my opinion.
Yeah, they've got someone who can supplant him right there, and Irv Smith, and the Patriots need a tight end. Perfect mix.
But let's see if we can start a little movement, because I don't think going after Rudolph is enough. If I'm talking to the Vikings.
No, if you read this in the article, I list, it's on WEI.com. You can find it. It says time for Belichick to go for the steak.
I just retweeted it. It's on my timeline.
Thank you. And that's at Rotobon, and I'm at WEI Hacksaw, but it's there. So I do like the kind of, you know, jokingly, steak and lobster options, which are, you know, the big guys to maybe go get were Julio and OBJ with a rationale around each. And then, like, you've got,
OBJ is going to be tough to get.
I understand that. And then you've got,
because they're winning.
Yeah. You've got the, the good, solid eggplant parm at the local restaurant options. And in there, I've got AJ Green, you know what I mean? As someone, Jamison Crowder, who I think is gettable for your New York Jets, Marvin Jones.
And the thing about Crowder, Hack, is you're sort of bringing in, like, I think they need, I mean, Crowder just goes down so often. He's really good, but he always gets hurt. Keep going. Tell me all the names you have.
So,
and then I have an idea. I want to see what you think of it.
AJ Green is in there. Marvin Jones, I put in there because essentially the rationale is he's on the Lions and he's playing for Matt Patricia, which means he probably wants to get out of town. Same for Crowder. One guy I didn't get on the list because there's a word count that I have to hit that I'll get to. Like Landry was a guy, but he's so banged up, I'm not all that interested. And then my local cheap family restaurant options where you have to do a 2-for-1 here, get either Rudolph or Njoku and pair them with John Ross.
Yeah, no, I like all those names. I think John Ross would be really interesting. But here's the move I would be really – like if I'm the Patriots, this is what I'm going to try to do. I would call up the Vikings and say, look, what does it take to get Kyle Rudolph and Adam Thielen?
Ooh.
That's what I would do.
Oh man, I mean, look,
they're 1-5. They're 1-5. Kirk Cousins is an absolute dumpster fire. They are in a draft with multiple good quarterbacks, and it's really important. If I'm the Vikings, I want to make sure I'm in the top three, top two. And that's the way to go about doing it. They've got a young tight end to move in for Rudolph. They've got a phenomenal young receiver in Justin Jefferson. Yep. Adam Thielen, when they are good in a year or two or three, Adam Thielen's going to be, what, 33, 34 years old? Meanwhile, the Patriots would suddenly turn their offense from a one-dimensional kind of thing into a multifaceted, multidimensional thing. Kyle Rudolph doesn't just help you catching touchdowns. He helps you in the pass protection and the run blocking scheme. So
in the red zone, big target.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what it would take, but this move would help Minnesota in multiple ways. These are older players that they need to get something for. I don't think you need to get a first-round pick involved in a trade like this. Anyway, imagine what the Patriots would look like with those two guys.
Oh, they're in contention right away.
And Edelman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in contention right away if they make that.
And they're running backs.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt about it.
So I think that would be – forget Rudolph or Thielen. Just do it. Go get both of them. And you can fit them.
We've talked about this. We've talked about this in the past, particularly in the podcast that we do, is you know, when people get frustrated, and I write this in the article, like I've always been patient with Belichick, like kind of watching the puzzle develop and it turns into a – Super Bowl contending portrait, but it's like it's easy to overreact on the draft when they do, you know, crazy reaches or they just pass by guys that are quite obvious to take or in the early stages of free agency. But every once in a while at the poker table, he takes his chips. He goes, I'm all in, you know, and from a draft perspective, I go back to Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower at the time. Like I trade up. I'm going for these guys. And Stephon Gilmore,
how much did they actually give up? You know what I mean? No, I mean, I understand.
You hear what I'm saying? When the opportunity is there.
A big contract for a really important chip like Revis or Gilmore, yeah. Yeah. But those guys were a little bit more in their prime, right? Gilmore especially.
He was due for his first big contract. That he was right at
it. Now, this would be two aging players with, you know, a couple years left. It's sort of a win now kind of thing. It's obviously a price-sensitive kind of thing. The Patriots are too smart to sit there and give up too much, but if it can get done on terms that the Patriots could handle, I just think it would be such a phenomenal move. Yeah. Now, having said that, Belichick has the patience and he has like sort of that that will where he will sit there and play for the long term, even though he might have to watch Brady having playoff success. Like he can handle it.
I wonder,
he's that good a poker player.
If they go all in, you know, and they make a move like Thielen and Rudolph, and I would consider that, you know, an all-in move, you know, by November 3rd. I mean, that really is. You're not going to get much more than that.
Well, okay? It's all in depending on what they pay.
What they give up, yeah, for sure, in the deal. But I wonder what the long-term repercussions are for a move like that with a guy like Gilmore, you know what I mean, who's coming in the last year of his contract and he's going to want to cash in.
Well, this is what I'm
saying.
You know, if it puts them in a position where they're suddenly not able to move forward the way they wanted to, then no, you can't do it.
Yep.
I mean, if the Patriots have a very specific long-term plan, you're not going to move them off of it. And look, it's never a coincidence that they have extra draft picks and extra cap space. It's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, and I think in terms of the long-term plan, I don't think Gilmore is in for the long-term in Belichick's mind, because look at the defensive backs, the core of young, you know, defensive backs they brought in, Jonathan Jones, J.C. Jackson, Juwan Williams. I mean, they're stacking up there with youth and talent. So, you know, it looks to me like a succession plan's coming.
Belichick's coached two irreplaceable players, I think, in his entire life.
LT.
Lawrence Taylor and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that either one of those guys at some point in their career, both of them were guys he would have moved.
Yeah.
Like if he's in 1991, if he was running the Giants and somebody offered him a first rounder for LT, he'd have taken it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. He wasn't making the final decisions then, but
he was coordinator, but you know what I'm saying? So Belichick is cold and calculated in a good way. So, you know, look, if I'm a Patriot fan, I'm going to trust whatever he does, to be honest. But I'm looking at this Patriot team like you, and it does have a lot of potential. The defensive side of the ball isn't as strong as it was last year. You need something.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah. No, they do.
I have, you know, if they don't add anything, sorry about that. It's going to be compelling to see what they're going to do, because, I mean, look, the cool thing about the Patriots this year, and maybe it's cooler for me because I don't live and die with it, but we've never been here before.
It's been a long
time. That in and of itself Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting too, though, right? There's some drama, and we don't have Uncle Tom isn't going to come in and make everything better for us. So it's disconcerting on some level, but it's also it's new, it's different. We're pioneering. Yeah, we're exploring.
It's compelling.
We're like Magellan.
It's compelling, but from like a week to week standpoint, like that game last week against Denver, their inability to do anything offensively, it was a red flag.
Clearly, the COVID thing was a bad beat. And you know, I don't know what kind of symptoms Cam had. They're not going to tell us, you know. And we've seen this with some of the players who've had COVID. They didn't come back that great. This is one of the weird things about the season that we're never going to really be able to put our finger on. But you know, depending on what, like some of these players have gotten COVID and we haven't seen them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Ryko Armstead disappeared. We don't know where he is.
I know.
So you know, the Patriots had what? How many players? Was it just Cam and Gilmore?
It was Cam and Gilmore, and then not the comedian Bill Murray, but a practice player named Bill Murray, and Byron Cowart, a defensive tackle.
Bo Allen, I believe.
Bo Allen's another one. Yep. And so they had like, you know, four or five.
Right. And then they probably had some other people who had to quarantine, right? I mean, that's going to take the wind out of your team a little bit, I think. I mean, granted, Tennessee has been just ridiculous. But, you know, we also know that they were practicing, so.
Yeah.
We only know about the ones we found out about.
We talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it last week. They looked pretty good on Tuesday Night Football. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do a lightning round on your text. Lots of lineup questions to get to, and we're going to hit them all coming back.
Let's get back to Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
The outfield.
All right.
Hey.
All right, welcome back.
I feel 17.
They play this a lot at Gillette. I mean, they won't play it today.
I've noticed.
Yeah. So anyway.
Why?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So let's hit it. So we've got a lot of text coming in. We've been talking a lot about a lot of different topics. We want to hit the fantasy stuff right now. So 781 texter in a PPR format. He needs two of the three. He's got Stephon Diggs, Chris Godwin, and DeMarcus Robinson. I'm going with Godwin and Diggs there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I like DeMarcus, but not with those two guys. 617, James Robinson or Justin Jackson? That's close.
That's close.
Yeah.
I think Robinson owns his backfield or close to it. And Chris Thompson's not going to be playing this week because he's on the COVID list.
Right.
And the net effect of that is probably going to be that Robinson loses early down work because that's where Ozigbo can do things.
Yeah. And he's back,
but
right?
The beauty of it. Yeah. Ozigbo is supposed to play this week. Now, how much he's ready to play, we don't know. But if he plays, Robinson will lose early down work. The thing is, he will gain Thompson's role. So that's not a bad trade-off. If you're in a PPR league, he's going to get more high value touches. He's going to lose very few high value touches unless they give Ozigbo the goal line, which I don't think they would do yet. So Robinson, I think, is a safe play just from a volume standpoint. And Jackson, who I really like and is not far behind him in the rankings, there is a risk factor with Jackson because
Josh
if they
Kelly.
Give Kelly more than we think, then you have a problem. So I would just play it safe and go with Robinson.
I think I'm with you there. Okay. 617, got a couple T. Higgins questions.
Both good plays, though. If you have a flex choice after that, you could still consider Jackson.
Yeah, no, I want to get Jackson in a couple lineups. T. Higgins or Mike Williams?
Higgins.
Yeah, I like Higgins.
Well, that's close.
It is close.
It's close. I mean, here's the thing for me. I think the Bengals are going to be chasing. I think I probably have Mike Williams ranked a little higher. But the thing, actually, no, they're very close. I have them 28-29. Okay,
it's a gut instinct.
So here's the thing.
There.
It's a very close play, but from the game environment, I think you have a much better chance that Cincinnati is throwing in the second half than LA
going against the Jaguars, and so
right. The game script,
but both guys are big play guys.
I play Higgins.
Yeah, very very close.
Oh yeah, there. No, they're both good plays. The thing is, Mike Williams could get lost in a first half of offense, and then it's a running second half. If that happens, you're in trouble. Whereas Higgins, I think, keeps you in it all the way through. So
I agree.
I think you're going to enjoy having Higgins more.
Yeah, he's primed. He's got a new dance partner, as I wrote with on my article last week. 914.
But Burrow is really good.
Yeah, he is. 914, really standard scoring. Again, T. Higgins or Robbie Anderson. I'm going Robbie there.
Robbie Anderson.
Yep.
Robbie.
He's a monster this year. 508.
Love my guy, Robbie.
Yep.
Jets are very smart.
let's see. 508. Flex question in PPR, right?
CeeDee Lamb, Jerick McKinnon, or Julian Edelman?
Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, McKinnon's probably a good play.
Lamb for upside.
Yeah.
If you feel like you really, really need floor, you could play the running back, but I'd play Lamb.
Okay. 401, standard scoring, James White or Damian Harris? Play Harris. I'm playing Harris.
Yeah, I think so.
Standard scoring. You know what I mean? PPR, I'm going
White away. Mispracticed this week. That's always dicey with Patriots. Yep. You can lose some plays when you mispractice time because they install so much stuff.
Yeah. 508's in a 2QB league. He's got Newton, Brady, and Herbert.
Herbert.
He needs two QB league.
Oh.
I'm going Brady and Herbert.
I'm going to go Newton and Herbert, and here's the reason. I think Tampa is going to crush so badly today. They're playing a team that like doesn't have an offensive line, right? The Raiders have COVID all over the place.
Well, the Raiders' four offensive linemen will play, but you just don't know what kind of
shape. You're kidding me. They're right. Playing now?
They're all playing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Everyone but the
How
best
does
one.
How that even work?
Everyone but the best one. Trent Brown is out, but the other four guys
oh,
are
Oh, my
playing.
Word. Okay. Yep. So, all right. Coin flip in the second two, but I would definitely play Herbert.
Yeah, play Herbert. He's the big play guy. 617, yeah. with the injuries, we talked about Aaron Jones at the top a lot. He needs a running back off waivers. So he's got Malcolm Brown, Josh Kelly, and Frank Gore as options.
Malcolm Brown, Josh Kelly, Frank Gore?
Yeah.
And we take one of them, hopefully?
Yeah. Yeah.
Give him one more time, Hack. I got Frank Gore.
Malcolm
Kelly,
Brown, Josh Kelly, and Frank Gore. Kelly and Brown are kind of in the same situation, you know? But
I would play Kelly.
Yeah. Upside play.
I just think he's on a good team. I think he's going to get about 40% of the action. He could get some goal line stuff. It's possible. Gore is just a dead, you know.
And Malcolm Brown feels
Brown could easily do.
Yeah.
He's got this, the role he has doesn't lead to a lot of fantasy production.
Right. It's like four carries, 7 yards.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his playing time, you get hopeful, but then when you see the way they actually use him, it's not as good. So I would play Kelly. None of those are fun. I would play Kelly.
Yeah. 508, need two. JD McKissick, Frank Gore, Rex Burkhead, Le'Veon.
Ugh.
Two.
It's PPR?
I don't know. 508.
Okay. If it's PPR, you play McKissick. If nope. It's not, you don't. Give me all four again.
Gore,
Le'Veon, JD,
Rexy Burkhead, and Le'Veon.
If it's PPR, I'm probably playing Rex and McKissick.
Yeah. Standard the
if
other two.
If not, I'd probably go Rex and Gore. I don't know if Le'Veon's actually going to play.
I know. It's hard,
he's only been there a couple of days. He got up the COVID thing on like Thursday. So how much could they possibly use him, right?
That's my feeling.
Not to mention, it might be a snow game out there too. Mm. You're going to take a guy who's been around for 45 minutes and play him in the snow?
For what it's worth, I'm feeling Rex a little bit today. I feel like it's
well, yeah, that's what
due,
I mean.
You know, feeling yeah. him. A
None of these are good, okay? But if it's full PPR, McKissick gives you some floor, and White did miss some practice time this week. I think that's good for Burkhead.
Yep.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, and you could get the goal line with Rex too.
So. Look, there's no winning move here. Okay?
No, I know.
This is what I would do.
Yeah, it's tough with the injuries.
We got any more?
Tough. Yeah, we do. 207. He's got Kyle Allen versus Dallas, or he's wondering about Goff or Breeze in a tough matchup. I would say Breeze is in a good matchup against Carolina.
Yeah, Breeze is missing options, but it's a big game. It's a decent matchup. I would play Breeze there.
Okay, one more Breeze question. Breeze or Tannehill? I'd take Breeze.
Ooh. That's close.
Tannehill against the Raiders.
I would take Breeze
too.
Sorry,
against the Steelers, yeah.
Yeah, I would take Breeze too, but it's close. If your gut says Tannehill, don't be afraid to go with your gut.
All right. If we missed any of your texts, you can get me at WEEI Hacksaw. You can get Pete at Rotobahn, Rotobahn. And the rankings for quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and tight ends are all up at Rotobahn.com. One more before we get out. 207. Right. It's got Brandon Cooks or Christian Kirk in standard. I'm going Kirk. I like playing the momentum.
Oh, man, I hate to do this. I'm going to go Cooks. Right, I really like that game. I really like that game environment.
Throw a dart. Okay, we've got NFL Sunday coming up with Keith and Wiggy and Fourier. Pete and I will be on Twitter answering your questions. Have a good day, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.